It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 632. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. And don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. It's also brought to you by Malwarebytes TechBench Toolset, the all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. The latest version, you absolutely need to sign up for this. The link is in the website. I've been using this to help diagnose and repair computers. As a matter of fact, it solved a few problems for me on Wednesday when I was at a client. And my son and I actually ran all of these things and found a couple services that for some reason got disabled, and it automatically found it and fixed it. This is a great set, a tool set that you have to use. Got a lot to talk about tonight. The big topic tonight is a ransomware infection with one of my clients. I'm going to tell you how it possibly got in, and we know the system that the infection was delivered to the network on. And I'm going to go over the remediation and what we're doing, or what we did do, and how we resolved it, and how we were able to restore the files that were encrypted. Second, I have a couple AOL stories for problems, because I still have clients that have AOL email. We just kind of have to live with it. And I want to go over a couple solutions. We're going to talk about RDP and the problem with RDP. And what are possible answers? That's remote desktop protocol that I'm seeing very, very high rate of scans on networks that are trying to break in with port 3390 and the RDP ports that are used. So we got to be conscious of that. Shutdown issues, again, with another system I'm going to talk about. And I have a couple emails with some questions. So let's talk about scheduling right now. October 19th, mark that down. Malwarebytes will be joining me live, recording the show Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Looking forward to that. Hope you can join us. November 30th right now is the target date for Lori joining me with tips on Outlook, Word, Excel. And then I'm still looking to get a date in December to talk about points. I want to announce the return of Tech Vets. Keep your fingers crossed. Carrie and I are planning on recording October 17th. It's a Tuesday night, 7 or 8 o'clock Eastern time. I will let you know next week when we lock in the exact time. We're coming back. We did not pod fade. It looked it, felt like it, but we did not pod fade. So we will be back. We're going to, I know I say this all the time, we're going to try to do it on a more regular basis, but let's take one show at a time. So let's begin. I'm on vacation last week with my grandkids. We're down in Florida. I'm in Disney, but luckily we have a park day, pool day, park day, pool day. So this happens to be the first pool day, and it's Monday, because Sunday we just terrible, terrible heat and humidity and going through the animal kingdom. And it was rough on Sunday. Well, Monday, I was greeted with Mike Jr. and Ken headed on their way to a client because their main application's no longer working and there is text files on the peer server stating that there is an infection, the Arena ransomware, and they're making a beeline to the client. I had a voicemail that morning from a client, from the same client, totally separate issue, but at the time, we didn't know. And this was a solid state drive failing, and it was an OCZ drive that failed on a Dell Optiplex. But we weren't sure what's going on. It appeared that these two things were related, but they really weren't when all the dust settled. So let's begin. Ken and Mike arrive, and the first thing, I'm on the phone with them, you got to pull the network adapter out of all the systems. We can't trust anything because they've identified that there's files with the .arena extension on a directory on the peer server. We don't know how it got in there yet. We know one system won't boot, but we don't know where it came in. What was troubling, but we've since found out, and we're going to dive into this, Malwarebytes Premium is running on the peer server. So we were very surprised that how did it get infected? Well, the peer server has a share that's shared out. My son hit every workstation with a USB stick and making sure the system and looking at all the files and doing a cleanup and making sure each system was clean and that there was no indication of encrypted files. So you really got to go system by system. He hit one system and it actually infected his USB stick. This was the culprit. It was an all-in-one system that very, very old, and it was a shared computer in the office, because there's different agents that come in that can use it, and it's tied to their network, and it was literally the only system not running Malwarebytes. And there's a mapped drive for this vertical application that needs to be run that is mapped to the server, and that is the only drive and directory that's infected on the peer server. It's predominantly a Windows 7 environment. There's a couple new systems coming in, have Windows 10, but predominantly Windows 7. With talking to Malwarebytes, which I did, you cannot protect a shared drive to a system on the network that's infected. So keep that in mind. Had Malwarebytes been running on every system, they're blocking the Arena ransomware. We sent logs from the system that they analyzed to make sure what's going on here. How could that system be infected? But if you're sharing a directory on the network and the infected system doesn't have anything to block the ransomware, it will encrypt the files. And it makes sense. I mean, I don't like it, but it makes sense. It encrypts the files on this one drive. We were very lucky. Once they identified which system it was and shut it off, we're able to restore the directory that was infected from a Shadow Protect backup from Thursday night. This is now Monday. There was no changes Saturday and Sunday, but anything that was there Friday, that's when this got hit. This drive, we determined, got infected around the close of business, but before the backup, that drive was infected. So when it was backed up, encrypted files were backed up. So we had to go one night back. So we went to Thursday night and restored just that directory, and everything worked great. Now, it sounds easy, but that directory was a big directory, but it was not their biggest. They have a share that has a lot of data files on, and not one file was encrypted. So we got rid of the system that was infected. As a matter of fact, I have it still sitting here, not turned on. When I get time, I'm going to put it in an environment just by itself where sort of air gapped, you know, making sure that it's not connected to anything via, you know, there's no Bluetooth activated, there's no wireless, no wired connection. And I'm going to take a look at it and see what I can find, a little more details about the Arena ransomware and possibly how it came in. We don't know how it hit that system. Was it an email that someone clicked on? Was it someone with a USB stick that walked up and maybe they came in to the office there and infected it? Not sure. But one thing, every system, and there's 22 computers here, every system, we made sure there was the latest, greatest updates with Malwarebytes Premium, and we put CryptoPrevent on every system because we're just trying to do everything humanly possible to make sure we've made our best effort to stop ransomware coming in. And as you can see, there's so many entries where you got to have some physical controls, where policies and procedures for an organization where no system can come in and be plugged in without the proper vetting of your IT support. You just can't do it. Or only let them connect to the public connection, not the private. That's one. Two, RDP. And this kind of leads into a discussion on RDP for remote desktop protocol. According to Malwarebytes, and I'm seeing this on lots of logs, there's a big uptick of ransomware infections coming in via RDP. It's not secure enough of a protocol to use for remote access. So what do you do? Well, for remote access, you got to implement what I do. And now this client does have some RDP. We shut it down and I created sub-accounts for instant house call. That's a great reason for instant house call. What I do is I will sell a sub-account where the user for that particular workstation, whoever needs access to it, they can get in just using the regular sign-in for instant house call, and then they'll see any systems that they're allowed to access. And we call them sub-accounts. That's a great solution to put in place for anybody that's got RDP running because it's not secure enough. Two links for the show notes tonight. One is from Bleeping Computer, just some basic info about the Arena ransomware infection, and then a link to CryptoPrevent. I use it on systems here, and I don't roll this out to every client. I really should. At least use the free version, but then there is a premium edition that can auto-renew annually for just $15 a year. Your data is too important. But more important than having these anti-ransomware programs in place, like Malwarebytes and Foolish IT's CryptoPrevent, is backup, backup, backup. You gotta have solid backups of the systems. I have been successful in mitigating ransomware infections because of good backups. This is now the third ransomware infection since I've ever learned of the term years and years ago. The three infestations were remedied because of our great backup procedures. It's the only way to protect. And currently, at least I don't know of, and the writing of that article from Bleeping Computer, there is no decryption routine for that particular ransomware strain. The way to combat it is any new client now, we have some new procedures happening here. A new client, they must get Malwarebytes Premium on every system. Everybody's getting CryptoPrevent. You got to take a look and get a good program that's reliable, that you trust. I trust Malwarebytes. I like what they're doing. I know they're a sponsor of the show. They are because I like what they're doing. And the systems that had the Malwarebytes Premium did not get infected except for the one system that was sharing out directories. You have to have a procedure in place to put the proper programs in that can prevent these things from happening. That's my rant on the ransomware. My team did a great job, and we look like heroes by being able to respond quickly, restored, got them up and running. And by the way, the system that the SSD drive really did fail that same morning. And we put a new SSD in, reloaded Windows 10, got all the data, put it back on from a restore of a backup. The next day, my son was able to deliver the computer. And that was a long day and a long night. And then there was another day that's for a different show, the Tuesday of that week. The Wednesday of last week, I spent on conference calls. All of a sudden, I had a bunch of clients and even a new opportunity where they needed to speak with me. And the new opportunity I will talk about, it's this Monday, literally Columbus Day. My son and I will be in New York City doing an assessment of a company that is taking over and now owns one of my clients. And instead of losing a customer, I'm now gaining, not only keeping the current client, but I've now gained the company that's purchasing them. And we're actually going up and doing an assessment of the systems. And one of the things they said is, man, we have no consistency on our antivirus software and everything. So we're going to go in, do the assessment. I'm going to get SIWs on every single system. I'm going to make sure Malwarebytes Premium is loaded, remove everything else, and then get a good idea of the network. I'll run my scans. I'll get reports. I have a process in place. And then I'm also going to be meeting with the owners to talk about the continued support. And then we'll also get instant house call on every computer so we can remote in. I don't have to do that two and a half hour trek to New York. I should be able to support the client remotely with no issues. That is last week, and there are still so much more. But let's keep going. I said AOL has been a problem. So let's go over the first problem. Anybody who has AOL and you're emailing from Outlook to someone with an AOL.com address and you send an attachment, you get a winmail.dat, the person on AOL. The answer is simple. Whatever Outlook version they have, the person must send the message as plain text. You can still attach anything, but the text cannot be HTML. It can't be rich text format. It has to be plain text. Then have the attachment, and guess what? The person at the other end who has AOL, and I think it also applies to Hotmail too, will be able to get the attachment. So keep that in mind. But definitely AOL, and I've seen this. I was able to actually arm my son to call the client when I seen the email last week, and he was able to walk him through sending a plain text only. They were using Outlook 2010. Another AOL scam today. Let's say the person is John at AOL.com. I get an email. This client I have not heard from in a while, and I get this email that was very well written, explaining that he needed help because him and his family, they're traveling abroad, which could be for this particular client, and they were mugged and lost all of their money, and they have to check out from the hotel. They only have their passports, but they can't leave because they can't. From John at AOL.com. And I'm like, this is not right. And he said their cell phones are gone and everything. So first thing I do is I call him on his cell. And I was the second person to tell him. And he's like, Mike, what am I going to do? I said, first thing you got to do is go to AOL, go online, and change your password. I said, then let's start remediating what's going on. I look at the header, the reply was J0HN. The number zero was replaced by O. Because you figure, what's the purpose of this? If you want someone to call to reply back, they are looking to get money. So what are they going to do? Get a credit card, get something. What are they looking for? And they got to have an email account to reply. And that's where you find when you look at the headers, if you don't know how to get to a header of an email, and this is a lot of trouble to go through, but it's a way to analyze where is the email coming from. The reply is what is interesting. If someone just clicked reply, it would go to J0HN at AOL.com. You know there's going to be people that are on his distribution list or in his address book that absolutely would think this is true. Again, one of those scams that you just, if someone's asking for something, you can't believe it. And that's one of my tips on a sheet that I'm going to link again. And this is actually based on an email that there was a listener that said he couldn't remember which show it was. And I had a PDF of different cybersecurity tips. Well, this is one of them, which is if someone's asking for something on an email like that, you can't believe it. Or if the screen's telling you to do something, don't do it. Don't call that number that pops up. We have to be vigilant in the education and training of everyone to be able to not respond to these things. He also Googled tech support number for AOL. Big mistake. Luckily, he stopped short of them remoting in. Because he called, they said, oh, let us remote in, and they wanted, and they had him go to a website, and he stopped, and he hung up. He's like, this doesn't sound right. And he was correct, and he called me back. I said, oh my gosh. I said, don't do that. John, don't do that. Because when you Google a tech support number, there's a good chance that that's a scam that's going to come up. You got to go to the website and find the number and look at contact us. And then you got to really make sure that you're at the website. And if you're working with like AOL, it's got to be HTTPS. So there's lots of little things, but it's hard to educate everybody on these details. Luckily, he's now got for his personal email, he's got a Gmail account, and we've worked through a lot of the problems here, but he had AOL. When he finally got a hold of AOL, the real AOL, they were actually very helpful with him on his account. Someone asked me in the chat, is this a John that I know? Because it's someone I know in the chat. And I said, no, I made up this name. So please, it's not John. I just picked John. And I picked the scenario with the letter and the number. Okay? Just like the ransomware. I'm not going to even mention the type of client it was. And that's something I try to do, which is to protect my clients and anything that happens. And that's why I talk generically about certain things. And if I mention a name or if I drop something, it is not a real name. Keep that in mind. Once John and I worked out everything and we got everything resolved, AOL helped him. He's on the right path right now, notifying everybody his new email. It's going to be a Gmail account. And unfortunately, and when you fall prey to these things, you just got to be, you got to work through the problem. First thing, change passwords. Next, make sure your system's clean. I made sure the system was clean and that there was no lingering infections or no keyloggers or anything happening on the system also. So I did a thorough, deep cleaning remotely. I'm still seeing shutdown problems with Windows 7, and it's very frustrating. And again, I think I've come to the conclusion on this one computer, and you heard me talk about it before, Carbonite. I uninstall Carbonite, and then the thing shuts down. We're working on a new backup system, like a new online backup for the client. There is definitely a problem with Carbonite on Windows 7, and it's got to be some kind of combination that makes the system not be able to shut down cleanly. And that there's a strong delay in stopping that service in order to continue the shutdown process. What we're going to do is, this is a candidate to go to Windows 10 anyway. So we've got that scheduled with the client to upgrade to Windows 10. But that's something that came up. I have two laptops behind me, one new and one older from a client. And the new one, my son's going to set up. It's still in the box. That's a nice Dell laptop that they purchased from Staples. He's going to set up, make sure it kind of our standard config for Windows 10, you know, making sure their version of Office is installed. I have to put QuickBooks on it. And then I'm going to use Fab's Auto Backup. That's going to be the restore to be able to go from the one system to the other to do a transfer. So I'm going to pop the drive out of the one laptop, connect it via a USB cable, and do a Fab's transfer. Which brings me into something that happened this week. Well, actually, it started last week when I was away. Client's laptop crashed. He has Shadow Protect, but guess what? It's an encrypted backup. And we set this up a few years ago. He forgot his encryption password. And I went through all my notes while I was away, and I could not find it. So My son set him up so he could get to his email via browser, but he just didn't have Outlook running, and he still had files and things trapped on a Shadow Protect encrypted backup. He said he could get by enough until I got back this week on Tuesday, remoted in Tuesday night, and I was able to figure out the password based on his other, and he had TrueCrypt still because it was a Windows 7 laptop, and it was a combination. I remembered that it was a combination of the TrueCrypt password. That's all I could remember, and I had him try, and I remoted in with him on Instant House Call, and we tried a few iterations, you know, a dollar sign here, pound sign. We were able to get it. And once I got it, I was able to then mount the drive, mount the backup from the most recent backup, and then I put FABs on the system and did a transfer. Couple hours, boom, boom, boom. He's all good, excited, happy, happy. So that was Tuesday night. So the question is, what do you do for clients' passwords? Now, I lock them down and I have them stored away. It's more for retainer clients. And this is not a retainer client. So he didn't get the level of documentation and detail because he wasn't paying for it. This is someone that, look, I haven't got a call for 2 years from him. Actually, it might have even been three. I can't be expected to save every single password for every single thing. If you're a retainer client, I do a great job in maintaining that and securing that for those clients. But if you're just a one-off client, I don't do that. I'm curious how you handle passwords for clients. What do you use to store them in? How do you handle that? I just told you how I handle it. This is from Carl. I'm a longtime listener. Love the show. Thanks for all the work you put into this. I have a Synology NAS that I have been using for about 1.5 years for my home and home business. I love the Synology for all the incredible flexibility I can get from it, but have a problem that I have not been able to resolve since I set it up. I'm trying to use the CloudStation backup in Synology to back up my QuickBooks files, arguably the most important files I have. No matter what I do, the CloudStation backup crashes within a few hours of all being backed up. I've narrowed it down to QuickBooks being the problem, and it works flawlessly for months when I remove QuickBooks files from the backup. I have read that some people have mapped Synology drives to their computer and store the QuickBooks files that way, but I refuse to do this because I believe mapping a drive to the computer invites crypto malware to corrupt your entire backup drive. I like to think that not mapping to the Synology offers at least some layer of protection. Maybe I'm chasing a false assumption on this. Now, interesting what I just talked about. How about just setting up a map for the QuickBooks and not everything else? So just a Q drive or something that it's just the QuickBooks data. Just giving you something to think about. I mean, you're always at risk, but you're also at risk of your own system of it coming in. Let's put the protection on all the computers like I was talking about. Put the Malwarebytes premium on, put Crypto Prevent on all of them, make your best effort, and then that's it. We can only do as much as we can. And if we know we're doing a good job and we have backups. Now, I don't know about the CloudStation backup that you have. So let's get some feedback on that. I don't use that. He continues, my wife keeps the QuickBooks file open all the time. That's bad. That means anybody can walk up and start accessing the data. No, you must close all programs every night. That's something that I try to get through to clients, and it's very hard. They don't listen to me, especially lawyers. They don't listen. My attorney clients that listen, they're like, oh, Mike's right. I never close my programs. He continues, my current solution to use a free version of Mozy Pro to back up these files to the cloud, but I don't like having the additional overhead running on the machine, and it complicates any future file restore process down the road. The rest of my backup process is somewhat bomb-proof, but QuickBooks seems to be the thorn that keeps sticking me. Why not just use Shadow Protect, which can back up open files, and have the Shadow Protect destination be a UNC network path to the Synology. Giving you some things to think about. Do you have, or any of your listeners, have any idea how I could overcome the problem with the Synology cloud solution backup? The computer in question is an old HP Win 7 machine with an SSD running QuickBooks 2011. We have been toying around with upgrading QuickBooks, but at this point, there is no need for the expense. And I don't know if this will fix the problem. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. And this is Carl from also from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Okay, Carl. You really should consider QuickBooks Online. I know it's a monthly expense, but we've just then eliminated the backup. I'm trying to push clients to QuickBooks Online. That's the ultimate answer for this. I don't have a specific cloud station backup solution for you. And if anybody listening out there that you're Synology users and you can weigh in on this, I appreciate it. But think about, strongly consider QuickBooks Online. Peace of mind, knowing that those important files, you're in the cloud. This is from Will. Android Outlook app issue. I appreciate you sharing my Windows firewall issue on show 628. I have implemented all the suggested follow-ups you provided, including selling the client Malwarebytes Premium, but the issue still persists. No malware, viruses, etc. The Microsoft firewall troubleshooter says it can't fix the issue. And tweaking.com's all-in-one software made no difference. It's frustrating for sure, but luckily, it's not a major issue. Now for my new problem. And this is where he can't get his firewall fixed for this client. By the way, I don't know if this would help you. The Malwarebytes tool set that I've been mentioning, sign up for that. There's a firewall fix. Now, I haven't tried it yet, but there is a firewall fix in the tool set. He continues, now for my new problem. Another client wanted help getting back access to her email account in her Outlook Android app on her Samsung Galaxy phone. For her security access, she set up a swipe pattern in a touch maze. Sorry if I'm not using the correct terminology. The client has now forgot this. Oh, I have uninstalled, reinstalled the app, and cleared all Outlook data. However, the app always returns to the touch maze. I have researched and can't find anything on this. Luckily, she can access her email multiple other ways, but there has to be a way to reset the app and get access to the app settings. Thanks in advance for any help you can provide. Best regards, Will. Will, I can't help you with that particular problem, but I know there are Android experts out there listening to this show. Please help Will. Let me know what we can recommend for him for a fix. This email is from Don, who is the person who asked for, and I will post up the link to the PDF of my 11 cybersecurity tips. I have a special link that I'm going to put in the show notes. And I want to thank Joe from Indiana, who did a great job at the Unconvention in DC a few weeks ago when I was hosting the session on what is your favorite tool. And it was rapid fire. There were a ton of tools and websites being thrown out there. Joe did a tremendous job of listing all of the tools and the website for them. That PDF will be in the show notes for tonight. That is worth the price of admission right there. This is a major edit to this show for the ending here. And I really need all of your attention. I've cut out the music. This show was originally recorded on Thursday, October 5th. And then I've been just hit with so many different client issues and problems. I wasn't able to record, and then I wasn't feeling good on the 12th. So now it's the 16th, and I needed to add this section to the show. I no longer have an Amazon affiliate link or affiliate account. Amazon has disabled my account because of the use of the subdomain that I've been using for years. You know the link that I've been using to send everybody to help support the show. They've terminated the account, and I tried to recreate a new one, and I thought that was going to work. And then today I was notified that I can never have an account that's ever associated with me and my website. I don't agree with this decision, but it is what it is, and I have to find an alternative way of generating revenue for the show. Yes, I have the sponsors, but that Amazon link generated a lot of support that I've now lost for the show. So that is why a lot of you have emailed me, and I thank you as you continue to try to use the link. I had to remove that subdomain from my DNS, and I'm slowly trying to remove the links from the website, but there's a lot of older links to all the shows going back and product links. Now, those links will work and they'll take you to Amazon, but I will receive zero credit for that. So I just wanted to share that with you and look down the road for me to, I have to believe in the product. I have to believe in what it is, and hopefully will help with a revenue stream for support. Thank you for your continued support and downloading and subscribing to the show. I will be live this Thursday night with Malware Bytes as my guest on the show. Bye-bye.